Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
It's interesting that architecture is something that literally impacts every aspect of our life, from the outside of our house to the inside of our house to where we work, where we shop, where we go to school, where we go to the hospital, the landscapes that we travel through. But I'll bet very few people know what the field of architecture encompasses, and I'll bet even fewer know an architect. Lisa Whitney is the principal behind EOS Studio Arc. They are based in Swissvale, and if you live anywhere in the Mon Valley or actually travel throughout the Pittsburgh area, including Lawrenceville, you have seen some of the work that her firm has done, including two recent projects in Homestead. She's our guest this morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, Jay. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you for taking some time to talk with us, because I your firm has been involved in a bunch of really interesting projects that I want to get into, including historic preservation. But first things first, as I was kind of getting ready for this, I was thinking most people probably know two architects, Frank Lloyd Wright and Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch. What is the job of an architect? What is the career path of an architect, and what do architects do?
So that's a difficult question to answer, really, because there are a lot of things that you discover are part of the field, and you don't necessarily know this going to school, you know. And I think growing up in the Mon Valley, we grew up in an environment where we didn't have a broad viewpoint of all of the different aspects that go into design and construction, you know. So I really hadn't considered any other related career. But I'm glad I did this, you know. But I also went to graduate school with people that are construction managers, that moved into marketing positions in different types of firms that do facilities management at hospitals and colleges, you know. So really, there are so many things that you could do. And then let's say you take a more traditional path and you finish your degree and you get some work experience and then become registered, you know, and so you're practicing as an architect. So then there's so many different things you do, what we're doing now, which is a really broad range of project types.
You do residential, including multifamily buildings and row houses. I was looking through your project portfolio, and I drive past a couple of projects that you're doing in Lawrenceville on a regular basis. I was wondering, I wonder who did that building? And now I know it was Lisa Whitney's firm, EOS Studio Arc. Give us your website address before we go any further so that people can look at some of the work that you do.
Sure. So it's EOS, which is EOS dash Studio Arc. So that's studioarc.com.
People just Google EOS Studio Arc. They're going to come up with it pretty quickly. Lisa Whitney is our guest. You are the founder of the firm?
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. You touched on something that I was going to ask you about, which is, there are architects who specialize in certain things. In covering the local school districts, I know that there are many, many certifications and regulations. If you're building a new public education building, for instance, that you have to get approved through the Pennsylvania Department of Education and the Federal Department of Education. If you're building a hospital, there's Department of Health regulations. If you're building something for the government, there's the Government Services Administration and these different agencies that you have to deal with. It sounds daunting. It sounds very challenging. If you're just building a single family house, you're probably dealing with the planning commission, the zoning hearing board, the building inspector. Are people surprised when they come and talk to you, you know, hey, I've got this great idea for a project? Are they surprised at how involved and intense it can get very quickly, I bet?
I would say, yeah, there's definitely a benefit to working with someone who's done it before, mm-hmm. Because you don't have to explain it. I have to admit, I have met with potential clients that when I explained it, it sort of crushed their dream of what they wanted to do. And it feels terrible,
Yeah, I'll
you know.
bet.
Some of it is, you know, a lot of times we'll say to people, our fee, you know, it might not be small, but it certainly is not large compared to the construction costs. So, you know, when we meet with people, we try to pretty quickly describe what we're seeing construction cost wise to make sure they understand what they're in for. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes that's kind of the end of their project. You know, but we've been really fortunate that we have some contractors that are very good at being cost effective and being able to make something work. So a lot of times we really love to team up with a contractor early and say to them, you know, this is what this person is envisioning. Is there any way that we can make this work for them? And what would be the constraints of that? And I find that that's something that works really well for us. But yeah, you're right. When you start dealing with things like grant money and government projects, you now have limitations that come from the fact that you are required to bid those, and you can't have that ongoing relationship with the contractor because it has to go out to bid to multiple contractors. You know, so it changes the dynamic a little, and that's one of the things I realized I just loved was working with the contractor throughout the project. And again, that makes certain types of projects way more difficult.
Yeah, it seems to me, Lisa Whitney is our guest. She's the founder and principal at EOS Studio Arc in Swissvale. It's an architecture firm. We're going to talk about some of the projects that her firm has recently worked on, including two over there in Homestead. Also, they were responsible for the design of the Swissvale Volunteer Fire Department a couple of years ago. So, again, you've probably seen some of their work if you've traveled or throughout the listening area. It seems to me you have to be a little bit of a generalist. You know, there's a left brain and right brain thing here. There's, you know, envisioning the aesthetics of the project, but there's also envisioning the costs. Is this something that can be constructed? You know, or is this something that, you know, as Frank Lloyd Wright, I mentioned in the intro, discovered, you know, a lot of times he had ideas that the materials themselves wouldn't support back in the old days, back in the 1930s and 40s when he was working. So, do you have to be a little bit of an engineer, a little bit of an artist, a little bit of an accountant to be an architect?
Well, that or you build a great team.
Yeah, okay.
So
Yeah.
that's what we have.
Yeah.
I think I like to think. I mean, sure, we actually, it's funny because we've been having these conversations internally recently that we'd all like to know a little bit more about our weaknesses, the things that we're not good at. But we have all of those people, you know. So we have people that are good at all of the different pieces, and it means that you always have to work as a team, you know, so that the guy who is really good at design, you know, of facades, for example, he loves to do exterior facades and he's great at it, can work with the guy who's really good at the building codes and the woman who's good at space planning, you know. And so, and then you call the structural engineer and say, are we crazy here?
Can this support the floor load that I want? Can these are these windows going to be make the building impossible to heat or impossible to keep dry inside? And as a friend of mine says, there are only two kinds of basements in Pittsburgh: those that are leaking and those that will be leaking soon. So there are challenges faced there. We have a break coming up, but before we take that break, I want to ask you: there are different kinds of architects too who specialize not just in different types of buildings, but there are. You mentioned you have someone on your team who specializes in facades. Do you also have someone that specializes in interior design? Do you have someone that specializes in landscape architecture? Because these are all different kinds of architecture.
Yeah, that's very true. So we typically partner with lots of other people. So we partner with landscape architects, we partner with mechanical and electrical engineers. We internally try to have somebody that specializes in all of the kind of building, the you know, systems, right? Well, not systems, that's mechanical and electrical, but we are working on interiors right now. I mean, to be honest, a lot of our projects previously, we didn't need that. And now we're taking on bigger jobs that require us to follow through with the interior design. And so we've been trying to build up our team in that regard. And you know, we've also worked with some people to do some graphics for us, some renderings, and we're determining if we should be doing that ourselves or some sending it out. I personally firmly believe that there are design professionals and production professionals in Pittsburgh that can do all of these great things and deserve to get paid a fair wage to do it. And so we're always looking for someone who can help us with the needs that we can't meet internally and to create new relationships with them and let them do the parts of the design work that we're not capable of. There's so many pieces in it and so many professionals that know things I don't know. And I just like to partner with them and let them do their thing.
Maybe that explains why when we see a building going up, we say, "What is taking so long?" What's taking so long is there's a hundred different systems that all have to all converge at the same time to bring it together. Lisa Whitney is our guest this morning. She is the founder of EOS Studio Arc in Swissvale. It's an architecture firm. They do commercial and residential architecture, including renovations and new construction. We have a break to take, Lisa. When we come back, I want to ask you about your particular educational path and how you chose architecture as your field. And then I want to get into some of the projects that your firm has been working on. And some of them have been new construction and some of them have been adaptive reuses. For instance, I think you did the old Schwab School in Homestead. You adapted into apartments, I think. Okay?
Sounds great.
We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Lisa Whitney is an architect. She's a lecturer at Chatham University. She has also taught at other institutions around the Pittsburgh area, and she is the founder of EOS Studio Arc. They are in Swissvale. They work on both residential and commercial buildings. There's been kind of a building boom in the Pittsburgh area recently. Lisa, has this been a busy time for your firm these last few years?
Yeah, I mean, we've been pretty full, and also sort of predicting what we think will be the next best thing just to acquire knowledge and experience, so that we're prepared to do. And so we've done a lot of new housing, especially in Lawrenceville, which I think we're very good at. And I do think it takes a very specialized group to do that, not just the architect, but the contractor. So we typically, when someone calls us, we typically say to them, "Can we just bring in a contractor now that we really like to work with?" And we have a few. And then we can start talking to you right from the beginning about what you want, how much square footage you can afford, what you're going to have to deal with regarding permitting and, all of the other things related to that. And then we have a solid plan to move forward. And so that's been really good for us. Like I said, I think we've gotten really good at it over the years. But now we're sort of thinking that housing market might be slowing down potentially. And so we've been sort of transitioning into new areas that we're interested in. And one of the things I really like is that the firm that I have is nine of us, and the nine of us work really well together, and we're able to sit down and strategically decide what we want to do next, what other things interest us. And so we found that building preservation is something that's a great passion for most of us. And so we've been able to transition into some of that work. We're also doing more work for nonprofits and institutions, libraries, fire departments, things like that. And so it just gives us a nice rounded client base.
But I want to ask you a little bit about your background. You mentioned growing up in the Mon Valley, but before I do, I want to pick up something that you mentioned. You've been doing a lot of work in Lawrenceville, including with row houses. It seems to me that it must be much more difficult to build on a city lot in a long established neighborhood like Lawrenceville than it would be to go out to Westmoreland County or Butler County to someplace that was farmland that you're able to clear, that doesn't have any utility lines on it, doesn't have any buildings that have to be torn down, doesn't have surrounding structures. You must enjoy that work. Your firm, the people in your firm must enjoy that work because you do a lot of it. How difficult is it to go into an established neighborhood like that and try to fit new construction in?
Oh, it's so difficult.
I'll bet.
It's, yeah, I mean, I think we do enjoy it because it's a challenge, and it's a challenge that we've navigated often enough that it's we know what to expect. So yeah, for sure. We have a couple of contractors that we work with consistently doing those, and those guys also build in the suburbs, and they do it without us. They do it without, architectural services. They buy home plans and they can build. They've got loads of space where they can stage their crews, and they've got easy ability to work with utility companies. It's a very different situation. So why they choose to work in the city sometimes, I don't understand, because it's so much harder. But for us, I mean, again, it's a fun challenge that we've maybe it, in the beginning was a little more difficult, but now that we've gotten acclimated to it, I think we just sort of know what to expect and how to get through it, and people know that it does take an expertise, and we have it, so that helps us a lot.
Talk a little bit about your personal journey. You grew up in the Mon Valley. Where was home for you?
So I grew up in East Pittsburgh, which is above Braddock, and I went to the same Catholic grade school that my dad and all his brothers and sisters went to. So, Pittsburgh upbringing, then Catholic high school, and was really thankful for that because I had good guidance that helped me decide what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, they said graphic designer. So I tried that for a minute and realized, I mean, honestly, I think it was just bad timing for that because it was the beginning of the digital era.
Desktop
So
publishing was really coming in right then.
yes, but brand new. And so you're really kind of in a place where you're not sure what the future is. And so I saw, my first year at Clarion, I went to Clarion. I was nervous that if I finished that program, I would already be antiquated, because I thought the technology was changing so fast that I got really nervous. And I transferred to Pitt and finished a degree in architectural studies, which is architectural history with a little bit more science and math. And then I went to Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute for my master's in architecture, which was a great combination, because Pitt was very liberal arts, lots of art and history classes, and Rensselaer is very technical, so much more science and math driven. And then luckily got a job, like as I was finishing graduate school, with a preservation architect in that's in Troy, New York. So I got a job working with this woman on just purely preservation for the most part. We did very, very little that wasn't preservation specific. Came back and had a series of different jobs with a variety of different focus areas, some retail, some residential, government work, healthcare projects, things like that. And it allowed me to sort of decide where I wanted to be.
What is your first memory of growing up, of paying attention to what architecture was, or
So it's funny. My dad was a contractor, and so that made a huge difference, right? And I think it makes a huge difference still, that I think there are architects who go into it from a more aesthetically driven perspective. They care mostly about what it looks like.
Sure.
But my background was weekends. So my dad worked during the week on job sites, and then on the weekends he kind of did this handyman stuff. He had a business partner who owned a bunch of apartment buildings. So he and I would go to the apartment buildings and fix broken doorknobs and replace, chains in toilets and things like that. And so I feel like I had a perspective very much driven by what it takes for that building to function. And then, because of that, maybe, or I'm not sure why, that was sort of my interest area in school in my early positions, And so I think I just have a more pragmatic approach to architecture, which again is why I have a guy that is like purely a designer that works with me, because at some point you have to accept your limitations, even if they piss you off, right? Like all architects want to be this star on the cover of a magazine, but I just
Well, they all
realized
read The Fountainhead
too.
and they all want to be Howard
That's
Wolf,
right.
right?
That's right.
Yeah,
Yep. Yep. Yep.
sure.
They want to be Frank Gehry. Yep. And that's just not me. And so again, like I think very fortunately I have a business full of people that we all know what is and isn't us, you know? And that's so wonderful.
Let's pause right there. When we come back, I want to ask you about a couple of recent projects that you've done, including the Bowtie apartments there in Homestead. And I also want to ask you, when should someone consider calling an architect? Okay.
Okay, great.
Lisa Whitney is the founder of EOS Studio Arc. They are in Swissvale. You can find them at eos-studioarc.com, or you can just Google EOS Studio Arc for more information. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families at White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Back for a few more minutes with Lisa Whitney. She is an architect, native of the Mon Valley, and the founder of EOS Studio Arc. They are a architecture firm that has worked on a number of projects in the Mon Valley area and throughout the Pittsburgh area. One of the big ones you worked on for folks in the north of Pittsburgh is the Meadville Market House. Talk a little bit about your involvement there and what that project entailed.
Oh, wow. Well, we're actually still hoping to do more work there, actually.
Okay.
We're doing a lot of work in Meadville.
Okay.
And just north in general. But what happened really was that we connected with a grant writer who had an assessment done by another architect and came to us and said, you know, this architect did this great assessment, but she listed the structural system as something she didn't have the ability to evaluate. So could you guys come up? And we have a structural engineer on staff, you know, so he and I drove up there and we looked at it. And he was really concerned.
Okay.
And so there were some major structural issues with the roof.
Where does that building date to? Or when does that
building
build?
Wow, I'd have to think about that. I mean, we are talking definitely 1800s.
Okay.
I'd have to dig in. So, and they are a historic landmark.
Uh-huh.
And quite honestly, just a beautiful building with a great purpose for the community. If you ever get a chance to go, the market is lovely.
It's a working market house.
It is a working market house.
Specialty groceries and all kinds of things. Yeah.
That's right. First floor has a beautiful market, so many great resources. And then the second floor is classrooms and event space and things. So yeah, the building is used really successfully. But when we looked at the roof framing, what we realized was these trusses, you know, like the beautiful wood trusses that you see in buildings, they had experienced, you know, some damage over the years.
Sure.
That needed to be repaired. When we went up there, I believe we went up in the spring, maybe June, and we looked at it and said, you're not going to make it another winter. We don't think you're going to make it another winter.
Yeah.
You could. Anything can happen.
Right.
And so we ended up going from assess our roof so we can get some grant money to hurry up and find some money because you have to fix this.
Yeah.
So we really quickly completed some repair drawings for them, and they were able to get Macero, who's a really wonderful contractor we've worked with a good bit, to come in and make those repairs for them. And so structurally, now we have some faith in that roof system, and we feel good about moving on to the next project, which...
I alluded to this a couple times. I drove past these buildings for years, and suddenly they kind of came back to life in the last few years. One of them is the former Bishop Boyle High School in Homestead, which your firm helped convert into apartments. And the other is the nearby Schwab Vocational School, also in Homestead, that you helped convert into apartments.
Yeah, they add so much activity to that area. It's really done a great service, I think, to that neighborhood to bring that many younger people, new, you know, tenants in there. The spaces are beautiful. I mean, and some of that is definitely due to the developers that we were working with that really invested quite a bit of time and money into those projects. When they first purchased them, we all were sort of like, this is a huge chance to put this much money. I mean, the purchase of the buildings themselves was not significant, but the amount of money that it required to bring those back to life was quite significant. And really, could have been a risk that was really not a good choice, but it worked out really well. Both buildings are well occupied. The tenants love them. Those same developers actually have another project that's further up the hill, behind a hospital off of West Street, that they're again turning those into apartments. It really adds a lot of life to the area. And this the if you Google them, you find a lot of information, because they have got done a good job of marketing themselves nationally over the way they were able to rehab these buildings. And I will say, one of the ways they were able to do it is by using historic tax credits, which is another benefit that is it takes kind of a specialty. It's something we are able to do, but it takes specialty to understand the use of those tax credits. One of the people on our staff specializes in finding and determining whether a building is capable of obtaining those tax credits, and what are the implications of that. So it really helps to make a project like that feasible.
Final thoughts. If somebody is looking to remodel their home, or they've bought a historic building, and goodness knows, as you said, there are many buildings up and down the Mon Valley that are very inexpensive, but often have some significant challenges to bring them back to life. When should they consider bringing an architect into the process, and what kind of information do you need from them?
There's a really wonderful Pittsburgh architect, Gerald Morosco, who wrote a book called How to Work with an Architect.
Okay.
It's a really nice guide to help you understand that process. I would say, if you have a complicated project, especially if zoning is required, if structural drawings are required, you probably want to bring an architect on. Determining which architect is the best choice for you may be a little difficult. So it's always good to call your local municipality. If you have a building code official, a zoning officer, those people tend to understand who works in the area and
Yeah.
who might be a good fit. If you're a homeowner, there are a lot of smaller architecture firms that can give you really good service, and understand that process and that construction system really well. I think we're one of them, but I think in Pittsburgh, there's a nice,
Yeah.
well, we have Carnegie Mellon, we have Penn State, we have Kent State, we have loads of graduates
Yeah.
that have landed here and do really wonderful work. And quite a few do residential work. So when you don't need one, renovations, small renovations, decks, things like that, really don't require an architect. Additions, bigger renovations with structural work, they probably do.
And especially if you're looking at maybe rehabbing a commercial building, one of the many commercial buildings that we have available that, like you said, are not don't cost much money, but oh gosh, you might have those wooden trusses in there like the Meadville Market House had that
And loads and loads of life safety issues and
yeah.
other things. So when it's commercial, I will say, and this is something that we get into a lot, we have a lot of small entrepreneurs that are our clients. And when you get into anything commercial, you do need a design professional, which would be an architect or an engineer for the most part. And we also love those. We have loads of little projects where someone wanted to open a daycare, barber shop, a convenience store, and we're able to work with them cost effectively, give them a payment plan, and let them see their dream come to life. And we love that so much.
Lisa Whitney is an architect. She is the principal and founder of EOS Studio Arc in Swissvale, eos-studioarc.com, or you can Google them. They do commercial and home renovations, additions, and new constructions throughout Western Pennsylvania. Thank you so much, Lisa, for talking a little bit about your work and about your career path into architecture and what an architect does. I think it was very informative.
Thank you. Thank you so much for talking to me.
And thank
Hopefully
you.
we can talk again.
Yes, please, because I think we just barely scratched the surface here. And thank you all for listening today to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now. You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.